This is the People Speak Up podcast. People Speak Up is a social, arts, health and well-being organisation based in South West Wales. We work through storytelling, spoken word, creative writing and the visual arts. We aim to give people a voice, create a time and a space for people to come together so communities can be healthier and more resilient. If you'd like to find out more, please check out peoplespeakup.co.uk or follow us on Facebook, Instagram or Twitter. I'm Eleanor Shaw, founder and artistic director. I visited Louise Bretland Traham at her home in Carmarthen Town to find out more about the work that she takes part in with People Speak Up. It was also an opportunity for her to really tell her story.
We were in Johnstown, on the outskirts of Carmarthen Town. Carl, my husband, and I have been living here since 2017. And it's a great pleasure to have you here, Elena, because you and your crew, I always say Captain Elena and her crew and beautiful people all around, because it really, really has given me a new lease of life, because my interests are is all about writing, communication, singing. I was a trained classical singer, and basically it's my personal assistant, carer, Debbie, who made inquiries on the website, got very excited, saying that she'd actually followed through with speaking to Elena. And she said, "Are you ready to go?" And that was the 12th of February, the first group, Care and Share in Llanelli, Furnes Fach. And I've never looked back. The benefits from day one was, the first word was croeso, which means welcome, and teulu, which means family, hiraeth, which means longing, llawn, which means full, wholesome. And in a nutshell, I wrote what that represented to me and still does. Croeso, the welcoming blanket, akin to a cwtsh, cuddle or hug. Hiraeth, longing, on leaving the group, trusting the welcome home to family as ever more reality. The llawn, full, wholesome, represents the anthem of my soul being fully nourished. And to me, that is a powerful exegetic. My body feels it, my mind feels it, my soul feels it. My role within belonging, within all avenues, not being straightforward for any of us within relationships for so many years. I am still Louise the person, but I have life-changing, rare and complex illnesses. At the beginning of this year, because relationships were harder, because I had cancer surgery last August, and I, in one of the recordings where People Speak Up, I refer to Alfie Top Dog, huge part of our hearts family, who passed away in July. So it was a difficult time, and I was losing confidence, and things were getting difficult. My health was challenging, my energy, grieving for Alfie. There was a lady, I can't remember her name, Elena, who was going to be involved with one of your, is it birth cafes? It's funny how synchronicity happens. Those words at the time, I thought, well, that doesn't apply to me. I've never been a mum. I'm never going to be a mum. And realising how powerful it was to lose my womb to cancer, having always wanted children, and many people not realising how much I wanted children, and being alone before surgery, after surgery. And I wish I'd found a woman to hold me, because it's a very feminine experience. But what I found with People Speak Up Again, it's been very, very therapeutic for me, because it just synchronicity and trust and exploration, and you give us all reminders to be careful what we share, be safe, keep well, which is, and I've always got my support workers, carers, Sandra and Debbie with me, because I can get vulnerable. I can't always keep focused. I don't memorize what I'm saying. But with People Speak Up, it's unbelievable. I've prayed, I've wished for this opportunity for so many years, because it goes back to what I started with, of how isolating and lonely it's been. I did initiate, after a lot of research, help from Red Cross initially, wanting avenues for writing and singing. Singing is difficult. The voice is fine when I'm rested, but I get unwell. But interestingly enough, there's a neurologist liaising with a specialist I see in London. There may be an explanation, nothing confirmed, so I won't say what the rare condition, if I've got, if there's inquiries going on, why I'm affected by singing and why I've had intermittent problems since childhood. But that's a big, in the pipeline, being investigated situation, because to me, I just love singing. I still sing Panis Angelicus from YouTube because I can't memorize words. Fanw Lwyti, Caro Mio Ben, Mor Fawr Wyti, all sorts of things like that. I miss that. Again, another grief, loss situation like the womb. So I've already explained how my condition has taken away a lot from me. There's been a lot of grief and loss. Mangi, my grandmother, always used to philosophize and say, we can all be nice and wonderful when life is plain sailing, but the true test of character, when things are tough, the odds are against you, can you still remain a decent person? That's my heartfelt wish for myself and the people around me. But also, being an ordinary woman, I've learned that good is good enough. And the value of the ordinary, when people say, what can one person, just one ordinary person do? And I think, well, look back in history. And actually, something as simple as asking someone, how are they, without walking away, not having stopped to hear the answer, that's a gift to someone who's lonely, in pain, fearful, or not. You've heard me refer to permission to be human so many times. My reality for many years, because I have life-changing complex illnesses, I lost that. I've lost a lot of people. And Red Cross, they used to have approximately 12-week project of connecting people with community. So this is coming into where I was prepared to come into yourself. It's a lot of people. Never forget, everyone has a part to play. Don't underestimate what you've got to give, and don't be afraid to receive, which is a tough one. And the volunteer I had was is a retired, quite a senior medical person, and with my nursing background, it was a good match. And also his sister is a retired nursing sister. So he had the medical doctor consultant aspect to him, so I could freely talk about my illness. So that enabled me to explore a lot of my own thoughts. And so over time, then I had PAs, carers, Debbie and Sandra, who've been instrumental in my confidence. Of course, as I said, Debbie found yourself, Elena, went to the group. So with your group, from what I've already shared about the main words that stand out for me, croeso, the cwtch, hiraeth, wholesome, family, all those things felt safe. But it was realistic. There was people from all sorts of backgrounds, abilities. But what I picked up, because you gave your story, you read a story out, I hadn't actually heard in a formalized way about your, you explained what your interest and passion about telling your story and helping others tell their story. And the first memory I have, I felt very welcomed when I came in, but listening to your story, feeling a bit anxious. I don't get anxious very easily, but feeling a bit anxious because I thought, what, I won't be able to memorize it and feed it back, because it gave me something special. And I thought, this is what I've been looking for. People sharing, caring, vulnerable, storytelling. Since I was in primary school, I'd be telling story to the cats, to the dogs, to the cattle, anyone who'd listen. And I thought, I could put myself and my disabilities away. I was mesmerized by you telling a story. And your passion, because I'm very passionate, but I have to use my passion differently because of energy and movements and health. I thought, wow. And then when everyone did their writing bit, the way you did it, you facilitated that group. I learned everyone had permission to actually write and share or whatever they want to do, but everyone was validated with equality in a very natural way, not a manufactured sort of therapist clinical hat. I thought, I'm a person. My brain changed, my body changed, my capacities changed, but I'm still Louise the person. And I thought, this is representing what my life has always been about. I haven't been ticking the right boxes, statutory systems, care systems, singing. And what I'd learnt about my journey, preparing to get the confidence to accept, because it's been quite a lot of trauma, to accept carers in my home and to go to your group, I thought, wow, things are changing. I dare to hope. I believe in the vision you have within People Speak Up. It is difficult for me with Zoom, and often I'm quite tired, and the movements, because my vision changes, so my brain condition, my ability to hear people moving, bright lights, it's challenging. But what I've learned is the people come first, yourself and everyone involved in that Zoom session. What helped me, there was a group, and I put it in a recording, there was a young person, which I don't feel will break confidentiality because there's so many people in that group, so many young people, and this is a Zoom session. And this person was upset and vulnerable, and I had a slight dialogue, and it brought something special out in me. How dare I be silenced, be a victim, because my disability is no excuse not to keep going. I have so much in my life. Yes, I don't deny it's tough, it's scary, it's lonely, it's misunderstood. But I thought, that young lady was courageously vulnerable. I'm 59, and I thought, I've been through one hell of a journey. I'm not going to miss out. I'm going to overcome what I can to stay on that Zoom, see the person before the disability. Not everyone has that ability or confidence. I don't judge people anymore. There's levels, you know. People can be decent or say nothing and keep away. I acknowledge my own suffering, maybe not with other people always, because I'm too scared, because I got stuck in a psychiatric system for over 20 years. And as various medical and neurology consultants have rightly said, unfortunately, it's very easy for complex rare diseases to be mistaken for other things in the early stages, that I accept. But to think back in January 2015, because by then I had enough evidence to show that, and letters to demonstrate that my condition was actually organic brain changes, and they think possibly a rare disease since childhood. Still lots of unknowns and question marks. What is definite? I have ataxia. Ataxia describes a lack of muscle control or coordination of voluntary movements, such as walking, hence I have a relator walker, or picking up objects. For example, if there's paper on that table, I'd have great difficulty. I'd probably shift it to the side and lift it. Persistent ataxia, which I have, usually results from damage to the part of the brain that controls muscle coordination. It's the back part called the cerebellum. I also have chorea, which is a movement, neurological movement disorder. It's a disorder characterized by jerky, involuntary movements, affecting especially the shoulders, hips, and face. The term chorea is derived from the ancient Greek word for dance, as the quick movements of the feet or hands are comparable to dancing. So, and also, a neuropsychologist in Morriston Hospital did a battery of psychometric testing, and I'll quote literally what she said. I have various cognitive impairments, but what I'm learning is more important, how that affects in everyday life, and how do I accommodate the needs, who do I trust, because I'm learning more and more, and with your group I'll give more examples where I'm learning what I can do, can't do, where I'm confident, where I'm not. I've got cognitive impairments due to abnormal brain changes, not dementia and not psychiatric. Even in childhood, writing and singing and animals were my saving grace. I remember my cousin saying, why does Louise, we lived in the same village, very close to this cousin, why does Louise put up with so-and-so when we were children, so-and-so behaving in that way? And my aunt would say to my cousin, don't worry, Louise will go and sit with the animals, write a story, and she'll sing a song, she'll be fine. And that's always been so for me. But as the journey's progressed, in the now, it's shown me how much singing and writing is soul medicine. But I'm having to adapt to my condition. It's a lot of grief and loss and some soul-crushing experiences. I would like to think that most people don't realise. They see me as looking well most of the time, and how little things prevent me being able to engage with people, which is totally unnecessary if I'm in groups facilitated like yourself, with people like yourself, so that I can actually... What I've learned, I'm very confident and able. I'm given opportunities by people yourself who's open to asking questions. So I can quite directly say, I can't do this, can't do that. Because I was at a meeting, not expecting to speak to the chief executive of the health board, who was there. And I had another fellow ataxia, person with ataxia, who's got his own ataxia V, ataxia me, Welsh group locally. And someone was listening to me talking about my neuro experiences and my frustration, because I've been talking and trying to write for these years. Because as an ex-neuroscience trained nurse in Oxford and Wimbledon, a Welsh woman who's come back to Wales in 1990, only to discover there's nothing. It was the East Dyfed Health Authority then, now it's the Welsh Health Authority. So chief executive, Dr. Phil Clure, was in conversation with Alan Thomas and myself, I believe, for just over an hour, because someone had heard me talking about my passion for neuro, my passion for writing and speaking, but my brain condition doesn't allow that, and what my vision is for people in my position who don't tick the right boxes, but wanting to use words, communication. My dream was to be helped to write lyrics and music and put it on YouTube about the journey, because someone who's knowledgeable about music said there are opportunities. It's not always about the quality of the voice, the story. And this chief executive put on his Twitter NHS site about the conversations, and he was telling me, you've got so much to give. And he said, there's no bitterness. I said, no, I've never been bitter, but I've had challenges which has really pushed me beyond limits and been crushing and traumatic. But thank God, there's something in me that's kept me resilient through writing, through singing. Since the moment I was born, I've had a lot of traumatic situations. As a person, I've acquired skills I've wanted to nurse since I knew what the meaning meant. Singing has always been my therapeutic, although I don't like the word therapeutic, it's been my soul medicine. Because if someone can sing, then their soul is alive, it reminds me. It is soul medicine. Coming to you enhanced who I am, because I've been clouded in isolation and loneliness, or even when I started having people with me, because I can't keep focused. I have certain cognitive areas of dysfunction, and the cruel part, which I've had discussions with neuropsychologists a lot about, I have high-functioning intelligence, but the essential bits to pull the threads together doesn't work. Mm. So I can have all the intelligence in the world. If I haven't got people who can facilitate that opportunity, which you do, Elena, and other people around you, it wouldn't be possible to break down. And it's a safe place where I'm exploring. At the beginning, when I started doing Zoom on the Friday evening with Carl, I'd often be in tears, but they were healing tears. And Carl used to get upset. Always said to him, I said, no, please stop. Let me explain what the cognitive journey is, what this Zoom experience is giving me, because it's worth overcoming the challenges of the light and the movements, practicalities. Because I feel safe with Elena and the facilitators and speakers, and the group, it's quite a small group. But the reason I cry is actually made me face. I still have those cognitive impairments, but I'm grieving because it's a safe time to grieve. All that your vision within People Speak Up represent is safe. And the tears quite often is to do with, I can't follow a lot of instructions because it'll cancel out. My memory won't hold it. If it was given slow enough and there wasn't too much stimuli and light or whatever, one-to-one, and it is slowed down, the chances are the brain would process it all and I'd retain more of the information. But because of the nature, life isn't slow, people are fast all around. I've learnt with great clarity. I had a vague idea before getting more involved with your groups. Three-way conversations is very difficult for me. One-to-one I can do quite well. But a group that is well facilitated, because I have no sense of time, I don't know if 10 minutes has gone by or an hour, because I've had conversations with you to prepare, I'm relaxing, and you've assured me you'll give me cues if I'm over-talking. But what's interesting, you've told me, but you haven't had a problem with me doing that. So I'm thinking, oh, that's hopeful. Maybe I had it was more difficult without the right facilitation and opportunities you offer, because I'd get uptight and anxious because I know what my problems are, and unfortunately I've been mocked quite mercilessly. I've even went along and joked about my lack of full stops, but I've stopped doing that. Your group's given me confidence to say, no, this is a part of my disability. I can't expect other people not to laugh at me in everyday life if I'm not clearly saying, this is a part of my disability, but see the person first. I've learned as I've gone along, because I used to be, because I really care about people. And that isn't a limp kind of kindness. To be truly kind, you need a symbolic, strong spine. And kindness needs wisdom. I don't think anyone can be too kind, but I think people are naturally kind can be unwise in how much kindness they use in what way. So coming back to that group, I sense the kindness and support from everyone. So the psychological elements is well covered, but the cognitive, actual organic cognitive, what I've learned, because the group's facilitated, I'm not in charge of time, and it's in bite sizes. And what I've learned with yourself and your colleagues facilitating the group, I think are beginning to get familiar with me, is I can't follow a lot of instructions, but I feel comfortable saying, sorry, can you break it down for me? I'm getting confident of saying what I can and can't do. I'm still exploring. At first it was trickier, because when you're doing, let's say, a 5-minute, 8-minute piece, I've got the instructions, I can't hold on to the information, but I've got enough to work with, I'm in the flow. I have to trust that flow, because I'm not going to hold on like so-called normal people, the information. So I've learned to go with it and not go back and try and memorize. It won't work, it'll block the flow. So what I've learned is to trust the flow of my own writing, having had enough information. And if I've got it wrong, which isn't often apparently, I have followed what I've been asked to do, but I love it. And I thought, I can still write. But when I try and write on my own, at home, or even prepare pieces for yourself, I probably haven't shared that what looks like an hour's preparation, maybe several hours over 2 days. But that shows me how important your group is for me. And I hope that what you give to me enables me to keep that ripple going further afield and somehow present my story and how everyone has value. Don't underestimate yourself, people. As a Samaritan at a very young age, I learnt, a volunteer, I learnt at a very young age, a listening ear and an open heart can save a life. So I know the power of kindness. You have to tap in to who you are. You need to find whether it's faith, whether, to me, whether your God is a religious God or whether your God is that coffee table. But be real to yourself. And if within that higher sense of power for you is for your highest good and other people, you can't go wrong. And give yourself permission to make mistakes, because mistakes are so valuable, but own them and work with them. I've learned for myself, my middle name is Sarah, not Saint, and thank God for that. I would not like that pressure. And permission to be human, open to all of us. And also, if you can be true to yourself, learn what feeds your soul. For me, it's writing, singing, people. And don't fear traumatic experiences. It's not so much the story, it's what the story turns into for you, creating meaning. Never, you know, anyone who's got disabilities, hidden, invisible or visible. What I've learned on my journey, I used to be told when I was under psychiatry, but that's a huge story, and I had help from Human Rights and a GP to self-discharge, is never give up faith. If you do, trust. Just trust, surrender sometimes. There'll be someone or something. But believe in yourself. Don't be afraid to make mistakes. But don't fear other people's mistakes either. Don't fear judgment. It's a human, natural experience. It's what you do with a judgment. Don't presume. Check the facts. Give people permission. Not everyone is confident or has had enough trauma or pain or suffering or being near death to actually recognize what truly is important. Very often it's basic humanity, kindness. But be true. Just be yourself. Don't try to be other people. And for me, I've learned it's not all about appointments and hospitals, diagnosis. Am I going to live or not? I'm alive now. And make what your matters matter. Whatever your experience, they're all equal, whether they so-called good, bad or indifferent, make it matter. They're all equal. They're all opportunities. And for people who are disabled, remember, we don't come alone. We've got pets, which I haven't now, husbands, children, whatever. We've got people around us, animals, or care workers. A patient never comes alone, but see the person. Whatever happens in life, see the person. Tap into what is stronger for you as a person that creates passion, that you want to get up in the morning. My passion to get up in the morning is to use my good experiences, and there's plenty of them, but the pain and the suffering. As a nurse, I've seen such injustice on a humanitarian level. It shocked me in this day and age. But I've grieved enough, I've worked through enough, and my passion is writing. I hope to God I can sing again, just for my own pleasure, and keep coming to yourself and the groups and the people. Just tap into what your truth is, because then you'll find you can trust yourself. If you can trust yourself, then you can be trustworthy to other people. If you can learn to love yourself, even if it's wobbly, then you're safe to love other people. Don't point at other people, because often if people are being rude or horrible to you, it's an opportunity. I need to grow in resilience or change something in me. But that's not to give other people permission to be abusive or hurtful, especially if it's deliberate. So much life is perpetual learning.
Permission to be human. Mm. Thank you, Louise, for sharing your story.
Thank you.
Mothers. Mother Earth, goddess of nature, Mother Gaia, so much more than within your naming. Your womb so fertile, sexual intercourse not needed. From chaos of nothingness, you uniquely create life. Mother to us all, being your daughter, I honour and claim. Mammy, my biological mother, I love you. Your passing in 2008 to the heavenly life chapter, our human minds harbour an array of perceptions. Does life continue after earthly time apparently ends or not? Your ashes in 2020 still waiting to be returned to Mother Earth. Your golden wedding ring still on Earth. I want to let you know I understand. No more needs to be said as energies cleared with wisdom gained. I embrace forgiveness towards myself and others. You are love, Mammy, and my love ripples into love, love, love. I am a non-official mother, adorning an apron so homely, my apron pockets of plenty so deep. No frills or pretense I offer you. 2019, my womb, tubes, ovaries, and other bits surgically taken. I wish soon after a kutch, a hug from a fellow known female of trust had been available. I was never blessed with having my own babies to carry, birth or nurture. Knowing I have been privileged to be a non-biological mother to so many. No womb, no babies, but mother source of truth. I am still mother in my eyes, and that witnessed sometimes by others. Many blind eyes refusing to see my role of mother representation. Have I the earned right to represent mother of any kind? I have been mother to two blewgi, hairy, four-legged sons, Will Bach and Alfie Top Dog were my earth sons. Shalom for now, my path ahead friends, I claim as my sons. I know I only need to call you to be met briefly with loving wet noses. You're both still my spirit sons, but word sons lives forevermore. Do dogs need mothering by humans? Do we need as humans to mother our pets? An interesting question, but away this moment with academic human learnings of arrogance, needing to prove or disprove. Spirited soul I am, having a loving connection with animals. This love needs no scholarly qualification. Kutch cuddles with my furry friends, the unconditional kind of love. I know about human limitations, trying to apply reasoned labels on each other and anything else. Labels that don't peel off so wrong. I refuse to live within the reality of limiting, suffocating, no hope cries. Unremittingly, I own my conceptual love for my pets in my way. I have never met with disapproval from animals when I respectfully gained their trust on their terms. The wordless power of our mutual bonding experience. I have never been labelled by an animal. Let symbolic wombs help me be birthed over and over. Create newness of what my life path needs in each given now. Mothers of courage, grant me the strength to be the midwife of my talents. Permission and support requested to create what's needed from me as a woman offering care and affection akin to a mother. I am true to myself and others with permission to be human. Walking my path using my gifts with ongoing learning as mistakes made, achievements acknowledged, and so, so much more. What can I offer? I offer a spirited version of self, wearing my homely apron with pockets of plenty, my heart for the hearth of family blessings in togetherness I offer you. My open mind, creatively willing, but my unique ways seemingly an enigma. My outstretched arms ready to embrace, you decide to accept or reject. People are people. Wombs are wombs. Birth is birth. So much learnt from prejudice, ignorance, stigma, and so much more. All the negatives and beautiful, beautiful positives, all equal. We as people, not as in control and in charge as we think. Do you have the courage to still trust without any specifics or guarantees? Can you feel and embrace the trust? Are you able to grant this trust to Mother Earth, Source, or whatever our Creator means to you? If owning true faith, already you will know that never will you walk your path alone. Are you and I consumers of sufficient humble pies? Have life's pies nourished me in ways enabling me to feed other lives in meaningful ways? Pure white light of a power greater than I, please guide me to be the best I can in my I am. A diagnosis revealing statistical imminent death or a life to be continued on Earth. The complexity of life-changing diagnosis cloaked with unknowns, tough to endure. Our Creator, help me to keep recognizing something greater than everyday mundane limp offerings. My life I celebrate, but welcome help so I waste not my abundant experiences. Have I grasped adequately what is needed on the now earth? Are my actions worthy of the privilege of my given precious life? When I return to you, my Creator, I want to be able to acknowledge that I've done enough, and anything more a bonus. Your say, God, as I open my whole being to hearing your call. Gloat not, will I, when my naysayers meet with their naysayers. I will respect their suffering and weep like a mother. The weeping of mothers witnessing the errors of their children's wayward ways. Mistakes made by us all, with our mothers needing to trust in us as her children with godly or universal protection dressed with wisdom. Our Creator, mothers and children, biological or not, together given life's lessons as perpetual students of life. We can't be free of inevitable adversities, so pray for guidance. problems there to work on, and impossible to have prayers answered that result in a life devoid of pain. God's blessings sometimes hidden, with opportunities always present. Battle not, but ease into angel wings of comfort, trusting together in love. We are all gifted in unconditional ways, looking to the stars as our magic ready to be born. Mother Earth, to your womb we all return. Allowed an allotted time to be on your surface. I pray, as living beings and things of life, that when we reunite in your hidden embrace, that our work on earth well done. Mammy, golden ring of partnership and love, once more journey on with Mother Earth, and so much more, for us one day to perhaps know. We are all people, so own this with a good dose of permission to be human. My words shared, I leave with you until again we meet.
This is the People Speak Up podcast. If you'd like to find out more, please check out peoplespeakup.co.uk or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter.